Lord, lead us, Lord. Open our hearts to receive your word. Hide us all behind your cross because it's about you. It's about your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always is ultimately about faith, isn't it? Amen. Trust in God. Last week, Pastor Blaine spoke to us about having abundant timing. Let me see. Do you have something to write with? Okay, good. All right. Some of you do. Okay. I encourage you all this year. I'm going to say it as often as I remember. In 2017, write one thing down each Sunday and pray about it throughout the week. I think you do that and you'll start seeing some change in your spirit. Not because what I'm saying is wonderful or anything like that or groundbreaking, but because you are making it an effort to hear from God. See, it's all about the attitude of the heart. And when you begin to do this, I want to encourage you, whatever thought comes to you, it could be more than one, jot it down, take it home, and pray over it. Amen? Is that too much to ask, church? Amen. Do that. Pastor Blaine spoke about abundant timing, abundant wisdom, abundant courage. And I want to expand on the first point this morning, God's timing. Abundant timing. He said it in this way, being at the right place at the right time. Because being at the wrong place at the wrong time is not good. So the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. Your steps are ordered by God. You may be thinking, oh, Pastor, but I've got so many problems. I'm still trying to grow in Christ. I'm not where I want to be. And, you know, everyone in here is not where they're supposed to be. It's just the journey. Amen. Don't let the enemy beat you up. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you love Him, you are being transformed. And your old self is dead. And you're new in Christ. I don't care what you did yesterday or what you did this week. You do need to give it to God and put it under the blood and repent and all that, of course. But move on. Amen? Move on. Keep growing. You're just not that person. You can go and try to be that person, but if you've accepted Jesus Christ and you love Him, God will continue to convict you and to move you along this journey. Because He loves you. To understand it this way, a parent, when a son or child fails, a parent doesn't just give up and leave and say, you're on your own. A parent will discipline. A parent will try to guide because you want what is best for your child. In the same way, God is doing the same with you, guiding you, sometimes disciplining us. Right? There's consequences, right, to bad decisions. But it's a journey. Don't let the enemy beat you up. You know, you may have gone through something and missed church and you feel guilty because you missed church. Not that you couldn't make it, but because there's so much that's going on, I can't handle it or whatever. It doesn't matter. Today is a day. Every day. Dust your feet. Leave it. Ask for forgiveness. Move on and grow in Him. And that's how you will know you're at the right place at the right time with that heart, with that mindset, with that attitude. Be at the right place at the right time. I want to tell you a personal story and another story that's not personal, but I heard. And then a scripture in Genesis that talks about being at the right place at the right time. Everyone here, almost everyone, but some of you don't, so you'll hear it for the first time. But some of you that heard it, bear with me, but I'm going to kind of emphasize another part of the story a little more. The miracle of our church sign. me start there. You know, as you all know, many of you know, if you don't know, our church sign is worth about $14,000 that we did not pay for because it was donated to us by a stranger that I've never met in my life who just said, this is the one, out of nowhere. To this day, that miracle is, to me, when it happened, it was almost like going into the Old Testament and watching like water come out of a rock. To me. You maybe say, oh, Pastor, you're exaggerating. You just know when God's in it. And I told you the end of the story first because I want to now go back. What happened when I got to there? And it goes along with this thing, being at the right place at the right time. So here I was at work. Well, first of all, Pastor Green tells me that you need to get a banner. We're going to change pastors. And I'm like, okay. And I'm still like, okay. I guess I'm going to be pastor. Okay. I wasn't sure yet. I was like, okay. Well, there I was. And I said, well, I'm going to be obedient to my pastor. And I thought, well, I'm going to get out of work early. And I'm going to go to McAllen because I looked on Google, whatever, you know, some sign places there, banner places. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, McAllen, I need to be there. I'll be there about 3 or 4 o'clock. I'll leave work at 2 to 30, be there at 3, 3:34. I got it all planned out. Okay, so I'm at work, and all of a sudden, you know, the email comes in, meeting, 3 o'clock till 4:30, I have to go. I went to the meeting. I said, well, I can still leave at 4:30, maybe get there at 5. No, the meeting went long. I'll forget it. Not going to happen today. But I got out about 4:15 or so, and I just said, you know what, there's not enough time. The place that I looked at, I thought they closed at 5. I said, it's just not. So I said, I went and Googled, and I went to it, and it said AAA Electronic Signs in Donna. And I was like, Donna has a sign place? And it's like a mile from my house, a mile and a half, maybe two. I said, wow, let me go. About 4:45, I go in there. They don't close till 6 there or something. And I walk in there and, hello, can I help you? Yeah, I'm interested in looking at a banner or sign. And next thing I know, it's like, oh, who are you? I'm Pastor Elias and the owner. I didn't know he was the owner at the time. Come on in. So I sit down and we discuss all the details and I tell them what I'm doing. And he says, okay, well, let's design something, and then we'll go from there, whatever. And I said, okay. The only thing I remember, I'm thinking back, what happened that I said something where he was like, yeah, this is the one. You know, thinking back, and I remember him saying, where are you from? And I said, well, actually, this is a true story. The sign place is literally maybe a football field or two from my house. Like where I grew up all my life. And I said, actually, I lived right there, like behind this place, literally. I remember playing in that little open field there and seeing this Kentucky Fried Chicken. Those of you who've been to Donna for a long time, you probably remember this Kentucky Fried Chicken sign over here, just a few blocks down. And I started thinking, I used to play in this right next to this place, and there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken sign. And he's like, yeah, we've had that sign there for a long time. And I told him, you know, I'm just going to start pastoring. And I just told him a little bit of my story. And that was the extent of our conversation. A few weeks later, I go back in and we're working on the design, and I finally get something that I like, and of course Alyssa has to approve it and all that stuff. Pastor Green and Kathleen also looked at it and approved it. And so I go back and I said, you know what, let's just make this a banner. I mean, I like it. Let's make it a banner. What do those cost? $350, $500 or something? So he looks at me that time and he says to me, basically, how much money do you have? And I said, I don't know, $500 maybe. And he said, well, I designed a sign here for you, and let me see what the price is. And it's $14,000 sign. I'm like, nope, that's not going to happen. And at that moment, I think he already knew in his head what he was going to do. I think that situation was already set. I didn't know when I was coming to meet him that day. And he looks at his designers, because they have designers there, computer designers. And he just asked them, when's the last time I donated a sign? And they said, it's been a while, sir. And he said, this is the one. Just opened the Red Sea, right? Water coming out of the wall. I'm just like, what just happened here? And I remember telling Pastor Green and how excited he was. God's in this. It was kind of confirmation for all of us. Because, you know, Pastor Green was taking a very bold step, saying, you know what, it's time for me to just kind of step back. And he was taking a bold step, too. He was taking a courageous step. That's not easy. But I think for all of us, that was like a God moment, being at the right place at the right time. And that's important for all of us. To think of ourselves that way. If you are in Christ Jesus, and if you are on this journey for being perfected, and even with your mistakes and all, you are determined to never quit, you can rest assured that you're going to be in the right place at the right time for your children, for your family, for your situation. And then I was just, I didn't plan for this story, but I came in this morning and just thought of the work that somebody mentioned in Haskell. Was it Eloy? And it just hit me. I said, I need to share this with the church. And I asked Alyssa to make sure I had the story right. But you know, Alyssa famously calls that place Hask Hell. H-E-L-L. Because for her brother, it was tough. West Texas people can be rough. They have their own little cliques too, you know. And they're coming from Ireland, and they had the right color of skin, but they had the wrong culture in West Texas. So they fit in perfectly until they started to talk. So they probably tried their best never to say anything in public. But they went there for 10 years or so, I don't know the exact years, 8, 10 years. Right place, right time. I didn't say pleasant place, pleasant time. But would you change it? You ask any tither, you know, you're struggling with money, would you stop tithing? No. Why? Because right place, right time. It's God's timing, but it's you're working at, you're in His perfect will. And I told that story to say this. Today, in that church in Haskell, there's a pastor that Kathleen and Pastor David Green led to Christ many, many years ago. And he actually went worse before he got better, didn't he? They prayed for him, and he was rebellious. And I know you all don't know anybody like that, rebellious. But I don't think they thought this is our future pastor in Haskell, Texas. Yeah, he delivered from a lot of oppressions and darkness, definitely. So they were at the right place at the right time. And there a work is being done. People are getting saved through a leader that can lead and point people to Jesus Christ. Because Kathleen, the Green family, was at the right place at the right time. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And each one of us have these stories if we just begin to pay attention. Begin to be about God's business in your life. Not all of you have to become pastors or you know, something that the world considers. In your own gifts, personality, abilities, be about your Father's business. Be available. One of my favorite stories about right place, right time is in Genesis chapter 22. And it's the story of Abraham. I could read it there, but I pretty much know the story by memory, so I'll give you my version of it. Everyone, you can turn there in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. We won't discuss the whole concept of why Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. That's a whole other sermon, right? But focus on what happened. And after this act here, by the way, just to give you the end of the story first, after Abraham did this, God told Abraham, gave Abraham a promise that is in motion to this day. I love that. He told Abraham, because you did this, then your inheritance, your heritage, your family tree will number the stars. And we are all grafted into Abraham's family because of Jesus Christ. All of us are part of those stars. It's an amazing, amazing prophecy. It's an amazing promise that God keeps to this day. But you know the story. Abraham hears the voice of God and he knows the voice of God. It's important to know the voice of God, isn't it? And let me just give you a little hint here for some of you that are afraid to say, I just heard from God. Because that's scary, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. You know, a lot of people think Pentecostals are crazy because they just keep going around saying, I heard the voice of God. Right? And some of them are crazy, by the way. Just for the record. But one thing, and I was sharing with this with Casey this week. You know, there are people that are prophets that I go to YouTube and you can see them all. They're all different people giving, I prophesy this. Some of them come true, amazingly enough. I'm like, wow, that happened. That's pretty cool. That was getting way out there. I actually heard a prophecy in 2007 about somebody prophesying that Trump would be president. And I'm like, I'm not sure I still believe that. I need to check that. Like, but okay. But I bet you anything that same person that gave that prophet, I can find some that didn't come true. Or maybe they just haven't happened yet, whatever, right? My point being is that even prophets and even preachers, as you go along the journey, you're learning to hear God's voice. And sometimes you make mistakes. Don't be afraid to make those mistakes. As long as you are humble and you're not trying to bring glory to yourself, don't be afraid to make mistakes. It's when you try to bring glory to yourself. I hear from God. Listen to me. Then that's when there's going to be problems. Amen? So I told her this and I said, you know, sometimes the world makes fun of, you know, Christians because they put themselves out there and make predictions or whatever and say they're prophets and they won't happen or this or that. But all of us are actually on this journey. Whatever calling God has for you, you learn to hear God's voice by testing it. Amen? Amen? Don't be afraid. And you can be honest. I think I heard from God. Okay, let's see what happens. Yeah, I didn't need that word. I really believe Janie heard from God this morning. Amen. We all needed to hear it. She needed to hear it. And Abraham knew God's voice. And I gave Casey this example as well. I said, you know, this is true for preachers too. You know, there are things I preached about 10, 15 years ago that today obviously I never would preach on that again. I don't even believe that anymore. You're like, Pastor, how? See, I heard this. God honors honest ignorance. Right? None of us are perfect. And there are pastors now that you hear and you're like, that's not right. But that doesn't mean they're, you know, heretics. Or we're all going through a journey. Don't be afraid. Abraham knew God's voice. And I'm saying to you this morning, get to know God's voice. And I can guarantee you this, God's voice lines up with this word. It always does. Amen. So Abraham heard God's voice, so there was no question about it. And he goes and prepares his son and prepares everything for his son to be sacrificed, because somehow I really believe that Abraham thought that God was going to raise his son or somehow make him the Messiah, or he just thought God's good. I don't think he thought I'm going to kill him and it'll be over. I think Abraham understood that God is good, although this was hard. And he goes and does it. And he prepares it, the sacrifice, and the son is saying, where are we going, Dad? Where's the lamb? What's going on here? Don't worry, son. Just get on there. I'm tying you up. What's going on? You know, I'm sure it was chaotic and a lot of stress in that situation, and you can imagine, right? But being at the right place at the right time, Abraham was at the right place at the right time. And God intervened. And he said, no, I see your heart. You're going to obey. I see it. I'm not going to let you do that. So the angel literally stops him as he's going to sacrifice his own son. But not only was Abraham in the right place at the right time, but circumstance had it that a sacrifice was stuck in a thicket at the right place at the right time. I love this story. I love this story because I say it this way. In your life, when you're at the right place at the right time about your father's business, setting things right, the things in your life, you're trying your best to grow in the Lord. When you set things right, God already has a ram for you moving to be stuck in a thicket for you, so that you can have it at the right place, at the right time. And I told you the story about the sign where I was at work, a meeting happened, things got out of order, and I couldn't do what I wanted to do because God was directing for me to be at the right place at the right time. And that ram, I'm sure there was weeks, months of things that happened that directed that ram's path somewhere else to be exactly stuck at that place at that time. So what I'm saying is God isn't just like, oh, let me get the situation set right now. He's already got it all in motion. Amen? It's exciting. He's already got it all in motion. And there's nothing the enemy can do to stop it. To stop your calling. To stop your blessings, to stop your salvation, to take away God's love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. The only thing that can stop you is when you stop. When you say, I give up. When you say, it's too hard. Right place and the right time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away like the stuff in your garage, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. You know, that kind of goes with what Alyssa kind of spoke to us. You know, there was a time where there was like a crescendo, and like I said, people were reacting in their way to the excitement about being in the presence of God, and others, they get really quiet and really like, we should be honored. This is, you know, and don't judge. Focus on your walk with God in that. Amen? And it's also important that each and every one of us, as God's presence moves and we move in the Spirit, that we always check our heart in humility to bring glory to Jesus and not to self. That's so important. I trust people in this church. I trust you have a humble heart. I trust you're not bringing glory to yourself. I trust that even though once in a while maybe we make mistakes, just like I said, we learn to hear the voice of God. But we're in this together, praying for each other. We need. There's a time, and then Alyssa came and said, now's the time to just listen. And we heard. It was beautiful. We heard what Janie was hearing. It's just beautiful. A time. What profit? A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherewith he laboreth? I have seen it in travail with God and have given to sons of men to be exercised in it. God's perfect timing. 3 points I want to close with. And here's the question. What do I have to do to make sure I'm at the right place at the right time? You heard these stories. You heard Abraham's story and the ram in the thicket. And what? Here's the question for the church. Man, that's exciting to know that God's already working on my behalf. And how do I make sure that I'm not going to miss it? Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Number one, and you might want to write these down. What do I have to do to make sure I'm at the right place at the right time? I'll just say the three of them and then I'll move in. Number one, always, if there's anything, first thing I teach the leaders in this church is the only thing that really matters at the base of everything is your relationship with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Amen. It all begins and ends there. Amen. You can have a fancy church, and if that's not there, it will crumble. It won't mean anything. Jesus Christ. So number one, what do I have to do to make sure I'm at the right place? The relationship with God. Praying, reading your Bible, being in church, giving, you know, all the things that Christians do to be with God, to draw closer to God, be in His presence whenever you can, etc. Your relationship with God. Number two, trust and obey. And number three, repent and move on. Very important. Number one, your relationship with God. What do you have to do to make sure you're in the right place at the right time? Number one, your relationship with God. Number two, trust and obey. Number three, repent and move on. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, trust and obey. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulence and anguish upon every soul of man, that death doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. So, very clearly, when you trust and obey, knowing that all is well, you have eternal life, that is an important part of being at the right place at the right time. And when you don't trust and obey, anguish, no peace. Repent and move on. Go to Psalms chapter 51, verse 5, last scripture. Psalm 51, verse 5. Repent and move on. You know the story of David. He committed adultery or with Bathsheba. King David, the one that God says was the apple of his eye, the one that God loves so much, made a huge, huge mistake. But David, being king, humbled himself. And when he said this prayer, you can almost feel his anguish about what he did. And he did repent, and he moved on. But look at what he said. He said in verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Then he says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." And then he says the famous scripture, "Then create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And then he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore," because he had lost it, "restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." He repented and he moved on. Church, this is probably one of the most important things we as Christians have to learn to do. Repent. Don't make excuses for sin. Repent and move on. And if you could underline this prayer in your Bible, when you're asking God to forgive you, this is a beautiful scripture to go read every time. Restore unto me. You know what's going to keep joy out of your life? Unrepented sin. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know you're calling us to be at the right place at the right time. We are your people. We're not perfect, but we are determined to live for you, to remain true to who you are in us, to be Christians, to be new. We are determined to be at the right place at the right time. That's who we are, Lord. Your children. And this morning, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to stand after I count to three, just as a marker. But by standing, I want you to stand if you've heard this message and you're saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to be in the right place at the right time." You are determined, even with your faults and all, to get this right. To be where He wants you to be. One, two, three.